Amen. I believe that's Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 28. Is that right? But there is a God in heaven. Amen. Still there. Not going anywhere. Amen. Good to know. We'll be in Acts chapter number 9 tonight. Acts chapter number 9. You find your place if you want to. You can stand. It'd be good if I could find it, wouldn't it? Acts chapter number 9. I'm nervous if you can't tell. I mean, I get that way sometimes. But Acts chapter number 9, I will read just a couple verses and you can be seated. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. I mean, I believe there's something we can take from that. There's always going to be somebody running down the ministry. There's always going to be somebody against what's going on down at the church house. There's always going to be somebody against what God's got going on. Amen. There'll always be somebody against what God's got going on. Verse number 2 reads like this, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any, we're going to preach them right here tonight if I can, of this way. If he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you so graciously given us to serve you. We pray that we do that with it. Pray now that you bless the reading of your word, Lord. Help me to preach. Pray that you speak to hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Saul here, or Paul, as most of us probably know him, is literally seeking permission to travel to Damascus with the intention of capturing every Christian that he finds along the way and bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way he worded Christians here is simply put, of this way. I've read this scripture time and time again. Growing up in church, we visit the conversion here from Saul to Paul many times, and I always read through this, and I thought when he said he was looking for people of this way, it meant of the way he was traveling. But like most scripture, you read it enough, you'll find out there's just a little something else in there. Amen. It become new to you. And so one day I read this and I realized that he wasn't talking about the way he was traveling. He was talking about the way they were traveling.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said if he could find anyone of this way, that he would bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, I wonder if Saul were alive today, and by the way, he's not. Saul died that day, matter of fact. He was Paul from then on. But, you know, if Saul were alive today, I wonder if he would consider us to be of that way. If he would consider us to be Christ-like. I wonder if he thought what he saw in our lives, our everyday lives, if he would think there's something different about them, they must be of that way. And not to ruin the message here tonight, and I'll be quick tonight as usual, Saul's dead. He's not binding any Christians, but Satan is alive and well, and he'll bind up everyone he can get a hold of. Amen. And so if we can, if you'll bear with me here tonight, I want to preach for just a few minutes on the way we ought to be.
Amen.
The way we ought to be. There is a way we ought to be, and it's important that we be that way. If we're not, God cannot use us for His glory. To be honest with you tonight, if you're not interested in being used by God, if you're not interested in being served by God, this message will do nothing for you. If you have no desire to be God's man or to be God's woman, this is not going to help you. But if you do have a desire to be used of God, if you want God to use you, maybe there'll be something in here that'll help you. But number one, I find if we're going to be of that way, it's going to take salvation. That's first and foremost. Amen. John chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. If you're going to be of the way, it's going to take salvation. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14 shows us there our redemption through the blood. Amen. It's going to take the blood. Romans 6:20. You know, I feel the need. I feel like the last 15 times I preached, I've done a big spill on salvation, and I don't know if you noticed it. I have. I don't know if you're getting tired of it. I'm not. But I feel the need to do that, because I would say if there's one thing in the Scripture that has been twisted and mangled and distorted, it's salvation. Amen, amen. People think they can get to heaven all sorts of crazy ways. It just ain't going to happen. Amen. Romans, I tell you, it's so simple. Even a child can understand it. Thank God for that. Romans is where we find it most commonly, right? The Romans road. Romans chapter number 6 and verse 23. Probably one of the better verses for it. Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and comes from... Nope. For the wages of sin is death. That's 5:8. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find there that we're sinners in need of salvation, and that He's the Savior. Amen. And that is the gospel. Amen. It's John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way." Amen. If we're going to be any way, we ought to be His way. Amen. And I tell you, if you're interested in going to heaven, there's only one way. Amen. And it is Jesus Christ the Lord. I'll tell you something that helped me a while back. I don't know if Brother Josh remembers. He preached on it the next Wednesday after we went to the nursing home one time, talking about the nursing home. And Brother Josh let me preach. And just to be honest with you, I've been struggling with some doubt in my salvation, in my life. I was saved as a child, you know, just a little boy. You know, was it really real? Was it real? Did I really do what I was supposed to do? And I got to reading over here, y'all. Romans chapter number 10. Y'all know Romans 10? This is the preacher in London, Kentucky, Brother Bryant, said, "I know this is elementary. We'll get to your row here in a minute." Amen. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. I got to reading over here. And the Bible said this. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I did that. It ain't helping you, but it helped me. Amen. I met the requirement. I did what was required. And without you do that, you will not make it into heaven. There must be a convicting power, a drawing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You must realize you're a sinner. You must realize you're in need of saving. You must realize there's only one Lord and one Savior that can do the job. And then you can be saved. Then you'll be saved. Amen. Confess with your mouth. Anything else will not get you to heaven. Anything else. I talked to a fellow at work a couple years ago when I first started talking to him about church, about the Bible. And it's amazing how much people want to talk about church and how little they want to talk about the Bible, ain't it? Yeah. Amen. He said, we've been talking about 5 minutes. I hadn't really known him that long. A couple weeks I've been on the team. He said, "You don't go to one of them hellfire and brimstone churches, do you?" I said, "Well, you'd probably consider it that." He said, I just don't want none of that. He said, "That's not what I want in a church." And I'm not usually a very bold person. I usually don't do that kind of stuff. But someone come over to me, I said, "When I was growing up and a kid and I did something wrong, my dad beat the tar out of me." I said, "It wasn't what I wanted, but it was what I needed." Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for Maryville Baptist Church, by the way. But I got to talking to him about the gospel. I got to witnessing to him a little bit about salvation. Amen. I took him down the Romans road. And you know what I found out? We first started talking. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I know." He said, "I don't need all that shouting in my face. You're going to go to hell stuff. I don't need none of that. I know if you don't believe in God, you'll go to hell." I thought, uh-oh. And the more we got to talking about it, the more I began to realize is somewhere along the line, somebody has convinced this man that he's going to make it to heaven because he believes there's a God that created us. Ain't that sad? He'll not get in that way. He'll not get in that way. Amen. Salvation has been twisted. It's been mangled, distorted. So simple, y'all. This will all be simple tonight. I'm telling you, anything outside... I believe it was Children's Church I got to teach a while back. I believe it was the day that little Blake made a profession. And I told him this when I got done with the lesson. I said, anything that anybody ever tells you outside of these verses right here is wrong. I said, this is the only way you'll ever get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that, don't you? That's the only way. Well, people do try to get into heaven their own way. Everybody wants salvation. Everybody wants to be saved and go to heaven, but they all want it their own way. And that's the problem. And sadly, a lot of these people, I think, have become members of the churches. They're members of the youth group. They sing in the choir. They're in our Sunday school classes, Brother Chris. It's kind of like baseball. You might have heard this illustration before. Kind of like that batter, Ben. Ben likes baseball. Gets up in the box, right? He's got the right ritual there. He swings the bat and all that. He looks good. He's got the cool socks on, right? His belt fastened just right. His hat tilted just the right way. It's the bottom of the ninth, right? Getting down to the end of the game. A home run to win the game. Two outs. He steps up to the plate. Pitcher throws the ball, and man, he crushes it. And he just stands there and looks at it for a second because he knows it's gone. I mean, it's sailing and it's soaring and it's going and it's going, and finally it goes over the fence. And he runs bases faster than anybody's ever seen anybody run the bases. He gets back to home plate. You know what the ump said? He said, out. He said, what do you mean I'm out? He said, I hit the ball out of the park. So you see me? Did you see me at the plate? Did you see how good I looked? Did you see how fast I ran the bases? He said, you did all that right. He said, but you missed first base. You missed first base. Amen. As Christians, let me tell you something. If you miss first base, you've missed it all. Amen. Until you become a child of God, you will do nothing for God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't miss first base on us tonight. Don't do that. We have to be of the way of salvation. That's the way we ought to be saved. Amen. We ought to be saved. Number two, the way of dedication. We ought to be dedicated. Amen. Lack of dedication in my generation is appalling. Astonishing, unbelievable, however you want to say it, it's terrible. Dedication is at an all-time low, my generation. That's why we can't hold jobs no more. Amen. It's all right. Amen. That's why we can't hold jobs no more. That's why shacking up's more popular. That's why shacking up's more popular than getting married. Amen. Amen. That's why the generation in which we live right now is scared to death of dedication. They are scared to death of dedication. Dedication, by means of definition, is simply to, if you dedicate something, you set aside something for a particular use, and it's only used for that use. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Well, I'm glad you asked. We ought to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. You say, what does that mean? Well, if you take the definition, it means to set something aside for a particular use. If something is dedicated, it will only be used for its dedicated purpose. In other words, if we dedicate our lives to Christ, our lives will only be used for the glory and the purpose of Christ. Amen. We understand what the word dedicated means now, maybe. No longer should our lives live and be ruled or reigned by sin, but by the Savior, and the Savior only. Amen. It's getting tough in here, ain't it? There's a lack of dedication today. It's not just in the world. Amen. I love y'all to death, and I wouldn't be mean to none of y'all for nothing. Y'all been so good to me. But there's lack of dedication in the church. In our church. Amen. Am I all right? I don't want to be mean, but there really is, y'all. And I found in Scripture where Jesus dealt with some people who had a lack of dedication. They was walking the walk or talking the talk, or however you want to say it, but they weren't real. Does that make sense? If you want to, you can turn over to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Thought about this morning. Our pastor was preaching. But over in John chapter number 8, we find here, if you have a red letter Bible, you find the words of Christ beginning in verse 41. And he starts out by saying this in verse 41. He says, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Amen. That's something else we don't have a lot of in our day. Not to relive Father's Day for y'all. We don't have a lot of fathers in our generation. Amen. And I honestly believe the world in which we live is forgetting what a father is. What a real father. I'm not talking about your biological parent, you know, male parent, but I mean a father. You understand what I'm saying? A father ought to be a role model. Am I all right there? A father ought to be somebody you look up to, somebody you strive to be like. I preached on a Wednesday night. Y'all, the craziest thing happened. Brother Josh gave up a Wednesday night preaching for something, and he let me fill in for him one time. I preached on the thought, do you favor the Savior or the serpent? Amen? And I took my text from right here. And, you know, I often wonder, do I favor my Savior? Amen? You read the verses here, you'll find out that he's talking about not a physical father, but your spiritual father. And you've got one, like it or not. It's kind of like physical father. You've got one, like it or not. You didn't get here without a physical father. Amen. Amen. You got a spiritual father, too. You say, well, I didn't pick one. You didn't pick your biological father either. But you got one. Amen. He says, ye do the deeds of your father.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes it's all right to be like dad. Then he said, then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Man, if there was ever a right answer, right? I mean, if there was ever a right answer, these people had it. These are church-going people, by the way, I'm talking about here. They had the answer, right? Then Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, number one, ye would love me. It's a lack of love for the Savior going around. Amen. Brother Josh preached that. I tell you, sometimes I wonder, what's this man talking about? But I tell you, a couple Wednesdays ago, he really hit the mark when he preached, but there is a God in heaven.
Amen.
And this message mimics it a lot, and I'm trying not to preach his message. It's probably better. I probably should just switch over right quick. But I tell you, it helped me a lot. It really did. And there's a lot of people, just like the fellow I talked to from work. He said that, you know, I believe in God. I believe your verse was John 14:1. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Right.
Amen. The lack of love for the Savior. Then he says this. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, he said, why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? I think if we favor a spiritual father as God, Christ, I think we'd love Jesus. Amen. Then the other thing is, I believe we'll be able to hear and understand the Word.
Right.
Amen. That's something else there's a lack of. The Word. The lack of Word.
Right.
Amen. Brother Josh has had Brother Matthew now for a few weeks. Before we start church on Wednesday night, Brother Matthew gets up and he just reads some Scripture. Say why? The lack of Word. Just get a little more Bible in there. Amen. If you love God, if you desire to be used of God, if you want God to use you, if you want to do something for the glory of God, you'll love Jesus, you'll hear and understand His Word. And then it says this, and I want to say this, when you get to verse 44, it's going to get a little rough. Alright? Because He tells you who the other spiritual father is. Amen? And if you're this person's father, you will not love Jesus. And you will not hear the Word. And you will not understand the Word. And then what happens is, Jesus says in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And you read on down, and he says this, he says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. When the devil is your spiritual father, amen, you will be a liar. You say, what will you lie about? You'll lie about loving Jesus, and you'll lie about His Word. Amen. We'll move on. I made enough. Well, we won't. Verse 44 says this. We'll back up a little bit. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning. You say, I ain't no murderer. I don't favor that spiritual father. No murderer. I'll be honest with you. Seen a lot of saints kill a sinner's chance. Amen. Seen a lot of saints kill the sinner's chance. I've seen a lot of saints kill the saint's choice. So what are you talking about, Brother West? That sinner's chance? You know, in the world in which we live, it's rare to find a place like this. And we ought to welcome every sinner we can get in here, y'all.
Amen.
Amen. You're either a saved sinner or a lost sinner, if we're real about it. Amen. We're no better than they are. I mean, we just have the love of Christ in us. Man, that's the only difference. And we ought to welcome the men. You know, I have seen, literally me, I have seen some saints of God, some saved people, kill a sinner's chance at knowing Christ in a personal saving way. I've seen some saints kill another saint's choice to serve God. So what are you talking about? Well, I don't know about you. I grew up here, and I was in the youth group. You know what happens in the youth group? Cliques happen in the youth group. You know what happens in them cliques? You get friends that are real close. You know what these friends do? They do whatever their friends do. Amen? Now, I've seen some of them friends inside that group, inside that clique, inside that youth group. I've seen some of them really honestly decide that they would give their entire life from this moment forward to Christ and mean it. I've seen them do it. I really have. And then I've seen them go back to their friends in the clique and the group and see that choice murdered and killed by their other friends who choose not to serve God.
Right.
Amen. It is so important that we be the way we ought to be. Amen. Well, he said he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. He abode not in the truth. I tell you, the most simple things that Christ has asked us to do, that God has asked of us after He saved us. Just in case you forgot, this might just help me, but that's all right, I like it. All right, let me tell you what Christ did for me. All right, I'm going to take you way back here. And we'll go through. I'll try to go through it as fast as I can. All right. Start out right in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Right. Fast forward a little bit. You find the Garden of Eden. Right. Then you find Adam and Eve. And then the sin in the garden. Right. Fast forward a little bit. You find the atonement for sin. The bulls. The blood of bulls and goats. Right. You fast forward a little bit. Find out that no longer is going to cut it. Right. There must be a permanent sacrifice. Amen. The ultimate sacrifice must be paid. And it would just take the precious blood of a perfect man. And that man was Jesus Christ. Amen. This is all what Christ did for me. I don't know about you, but this is what He did for me. Alright? And all this, thus far that I've said, all this was done, it was all part of the plan that Jesus Christ had for Wesley Roberts. Alright? Then we took this man, he came to earth, not as a king as he should have probably, because he can do whatever he wants, because everything was made by him and for him. Amen. But he came as a babe in a manger, and he lived a sinless and perfect life for the plan he had for Wesley Roberts. Amen. And then we took this man, mankind took this man, Jesus, and we took him up a hill, and we put him on a cross, and we did our dead level best to kill him. And he led us. And that was all part of the plan that Jesus Christ had for Wesley Roberts. And then we took him, we put him in a borrowed tomb, right? And after 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead. You know why he did that? It was all part of the plan that this man had for little old Wesley Roberts. You say, well, then what happened? Well, we're going to fast forward a little bit. Get to the Apostle Paul here, we're reading Acts chapter 9. He converted Saul to Paul. You say, why did he do that? It was all part of the plan that Jesus Christ had for little old Wesley Roberts. And you say, Paul took this gospel message and he spread it out far and wide, everywhere he could get it in, wherever he could take it. You say, why did he do that? Well, it was all part of God's plan that he had for little old Wesley Roberts. You say, what happened after that? Well, we fast forward a little bit. See, the pilgrims, they come over on this ship and they come to this place that ends up being called America. Say, why did all that happen? It was all part of the plan that this man named Jesus Christ had set out for little old Wesley Roberts. And after that, you know, you fast forward a little bit, you get to some grandmas and grandpas I know. You say, what happened? Well, grandpas weren't in too good a spiritual shape, just to be honest with you. Things weren't going too good, Christianity-wise, spiritual-wise. Say, what happened? Well, on mom's side, one day there came a knocking. It was a man from the local church. And he has a plan to show daddy when he says it's sure to work. Amen. You say, why did all that happen? It was all part of the plan that Jesus Christ had for little old Wesley Roberts. So what happened on the other side? Well, we had a praying mom. Took her husband to church. She finally wore him out. Say, what happened? He got saved. You say, why did all that happen? It was all part of the plan that this man Jesus Christ had for little old Wesley Roberts. See what happened? I said, my parents grew up in a Christian home. They met in the Christian church. Why did it all happen, Brother Wesley? It was all part of the plan this man Jesus had for little old Wesley Roberts. See what happened? I was raised in a Christian home where at a very young age I had the ability and the knowledge that I could receive Christ as my Savior. Say, why, Brother Wesley? Because it was all part of the plan that Jesus Christ had for little old Wesley Roberts. And may say, what happened after that? Well, he began to deal with me every day. Amen? He's with us all the time, right? You say, well, why would he do something like that? I don't know. I guess it's all part of the plan Jesus Christ has for little old Wesley Roberts. So he called me to preach. Say, why did he do something like that? I don't know. I guess it's all part of the plan Jesus Christ had for little old Wesley Roberts. I mean, I don't know what he's done for you. I know what he's done for me to be here this morning. I realize what he's done for me. And I'll be honest with you, our lack of dedication to the Savior. He went through all of that to see that my sorry soul got saved. He went through all that to make sure my sorry soul got saved. And he asked me just to do a few simple things. He said, I want you to pray without ceasing. Amen? He said, I want you to read your Bible. And you know what I say sometimes? Man, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. You go to John chapter number 18. This is another message entirely. You go to John chapter number 18, you find a soldier, a Jewish soldier. And set the story for you a little bit. It's where Christ is being arrested right up before the crucifixion. You find this soldier there, and as they're questioning Christ there as they're about to take him, this soldier, the Bible says, struck him with the palm of his hand. He struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. So what is that? He smacked the Savior in the face. He smacked Jesus Christ in the face. And I remember reading that and thinking, I mean, what else worse could you do besides the darling Son of God just to straight up smack him in the face? And I thought, well, he didn't know. I mean, he obviously didn't know who he was smacking, right? But I got to backtracking on that, and I'm made to believe that the same soldier that smacked Christ in the face is the same soldier who was there when another soldier's ear, or a high servant, the high priest servant's ear was cut off, and Jesus picked it up and put it back on. I'm made to believe the same soldier that smacked the Savior in the face watched Christ do that. And you study it out and tell me if I'm wrong. But as I realized that, I thought, oh, no, this is somebody who knew who he was. Man, I got to feeling pretty bad. But I think how many times in my life, after all that Christ did, the whole plan that Christ had just to save Wesley Roberts, and he asked me to do a few simple things. He said, just live for me. He said, I lived, and then I died, and then I lived again for you. So I just need you to live for me once. Right? And I don't feel like it. I'd rather, right? Sometimes you sit and you're watching TV, you think, man, I got some extra time. I ought to sit down and read my Bible for a minute. But you don't, and you just keep watching TV. You sit on your phone, you Facebook on your phone. You like the Facebook, I like the Facebook. You sit on your phone, you Facebook, think, I got a few extra minutes here. I should probably pull out my Bible and study for a few minutes. But I'll keep Facebooking. So what is that, Phil Wesley? It's smacking the Savior in the face. Man, lack of dedication. I'm hurrying here. It's going to take salvation. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take separation. Amen. If we're to be of the way, it'll take separation. And there is no separation without there's dedication. Amen. I'm trying not to be rough, y'all. But we're kidding ourselves if we think that we're separated and we're not dedicated enough to show up to God's house when church is going on. Amen. We're not real separated if we're not dedicated enough to make Sunday school, Brother Justin. Well, we are still called to be a separate people. Amen. We are. If you desire to be of that way and be used of God, you're going to have to be separated from the world. And this is not a false separation. Amen. We have got ourselves big time. I'm telling you, we really think that we live such a holy and perfect life sometimes, don't we? We forget who we are, and we think that we're really doing just so good and so great. I'm telling you, sometimes people just step back and take a look at what you're really doing. We're to be separated. I've got more. We're going to quit here in just a second. We ought to be of His way. You get over in Psalms chapter 119, and we ought to be in His ways. Amen. We ought to be in His ways. Say, you got an outline for that? I'm glad you asked. We ought to be in His ways publicly. Say, where's that at? That's wherever you go. It's wherever you go. If you're there, public. Right? We ought to be in His ways publicly. That's for the world to see. We ought to be in His ways privately. That's at home. That's here. We ought to be, amen, you ought to be in His ways here. You ought to be in His ways around the church people. Amen. We ought to be in His ways, fellas, when we're out on the lake doing a church. It's a church event, church tournament. Amen. We ought to go and act like we're from the church. Amen. Amen. And we ought to be in His ways personally. Personally, that's at home. That's you. That's you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to pray. You ought to read your Bible. I know you didn't know that. That's why I wanted to tell you. We ought to pray. We ought to read our Bibles. And then, I'm going to ruin Brother Josh's lesson for Tuesday. There's some things we need to be in the way of. We need to be in the way of some things. Amen. We ought to be in the way of sinners going to hell. Amen. Amen. We're all still supposed to be telling other people about the gospel. Amen. Well, we'll quit. I want to give you one more thing. Turn your Bible over to Acts chapter number 20, and I'm gonna here in just a second. I'll sing a song for invitation, I guess, if that's all right. But Acts chapter number 20. I want to give you something God gave me about 7 years ago. About 7 years ago, the youth group went to Gallia, Ohio, and I remember at that time in my life, God was dealing with me about my call to preach. And I was fighting it, just to be honest with you. And I remember being in Brother David Frazee's bus, sitting in the captain's chair there up in the front and studying. Just reading my Bible. And I oftentimes when I study and I don't know what to read, I just look the stuff I know. I don't know if you do that. I do. But it helps me. And so I heard Brother Josh use this verse over and over and over for visitation all the time. It's Acts 20 and verse number 20. This is a 2020 vision of the church, and he uses the last part of this verse where it says, and they went house to house. Amen. It uses that for good application for knocking on doors. Amen. I'm for it. But that night I read the first part and I got hung up. And this is Paul speaking here in Acts 20:20. It says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. And I thought, man, that Paul could look to those who served Christ with him, the people that looked up to him. Most of the people you find that Paul wrote about, like Timothy and others, they looked up to him as a father. It was like a father-son relationship. And that the fact that Paul could look them in the face and say, "You see how I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." I thought, man, that's a testimony right there. And I thought, if I ever, you know, really want to be able to do anything, I'd like to be able to say that to my fellow laborers, my Christian brothers and sisters. "You see how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." And I thought about my Savior and how He could look at me and say, "Wesley, you see how I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." You say, "That's pretty good, Wesley. What's all that for?" Well, I got to thinking about it a little more. And I thought, well, could I say it to him?
Right.
You see, God's given us all something. And I know you're not like me. You can't play 37 different instruments or sing or preach. I know, but He's given you something. He's given you something, and it's profitable unto Him. It's profitable unto Him. But so oftentimes, so often, you know what we do? We hold back. We get worried about embarrassing the flesh. We hold it back. If I could say anything, I mean, if there was one thing I wish that I could look at the Savior and say, is that I gave it my all. I didn't hold back. Everything that was profitable unto you, I gave to you. I dedicated my life for you. I separated my life unto you. That's what I want to be able to say, is that I didn't hold back.